The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
So tithing was instituted in the beginning. Number one, for our liberation from our greediness, and quite frankly, we all are subject to that. Number two, if you're taking notes, the second thing that we reason why God instituted tithing from the get-go, right off the porch, if you might say, is destination. Our destination. Gang, I have come to the conclusion in my studying, researching the Word. From cover to cover, the Bible calls us to set our hearts on things above, not on things here, and not on things of this world. Specifically declared, if you want to take notes, in Colossians 3:2. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:33. I think you've heard this a million times. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Well, if you're taking notes, I want to talk about this just for a second. This thing here, first, other things. What is other things? What's other things? We really don't have the time, but if you look there for your homework, read from 19 to 32. That's the other things. Clothing, money, houses, you know, hey, birds have their nests. Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? You've heard it. Do not lay up yourselves treasures in earth where moth and destroy, and we're going to get to that a little later too. And it also says, therefore, don't be worried about your life, what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, your bodies, whatever. You know, he says, because if you put the kingdom first, all these other things right here, that you read right there, they'll be taken care of. Don't worry about it. Your mortgage, your car, your kids, the college fund, all that stuff's going to be taken care of. Not that it's not important, okay? But it's if you need to put God first, and then the kingdom first, and then these things, all these other things will be added. Number two, this is really cool. I just learned this myself. I love studying God's Word. He just continues to. You know, if anyone comes to you and says, I know all about the Word, I don't need to study the Word, you tell them that you need to go back to college or something, because the Word that continues to just give out. Number two, these words added to you there when it says, put the kingdom for God first and all these other things will be added to you and to you. In the original, it gives an overtone of without toil. I like that. I jumped up and down. I mean, I was like running through the house almost. It was like, yeah, that's it. You put His kingdom first, these things will be given to you. You won't have to like toil at them. You know, I got to find a job. No, the job will be there. Oh, I can't make money. No, the money will be there. No, I can't do this or I can't do that or whatever it is. You know, out of the blue, someone will give you a check from some long-lost uncle for, you know, 50 grand or something. I mean, I'm not prophesying that at all. What I am saying is that if you put that first, those words there in the Greek, in the original, is like without toil. They'll just come to you. Put Him first. And these other things will be added without a lot of problems. It's a promise. I love that area of Scripture. So then my question would be, tell me, how do I put His kingdom first? Man, I mean, without toil? Oh, yeah. All these things He's going to give me without toil? Please, tell me how. Well, He told us how. How do we practically seek to first the kingdom and set our hearts on heavenly things? Well, Jesus told us how. He answered that question in Matthew 6:21 when He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be as well. And so according to our Lord, if your treasure is on earth, that's where your heart will be as well. Does it make sense? Amen? Yeah? Now, folks, this is a major point of what I'm about to say. So please take note. So God, in his wisdom, kindness, and love for you and for me, in chapter 6 there in Matthew, says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. And so the key is, put your treasures in heaven. Put them in heaven. Because in doing so, and here's the key, shakalak, you know, the shakalak, bam shakalak, that, yeah. Your heart will follow. You put them in heaven, your heart will follow. It's a promise. It's just a practical step of when we put our hearts in heaven with our treasures, our hearts will follow. Now, to further illustrate this Jesus problem, this biblical principle that we're looking at this morning, I have a story. It's a very personal story, but it also includes a couple people in the office. Many, 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 many years ago, someone in our body, I don't even know if they're here today, but I kind of forgot who it was, but they gave us, like, some stock. You know, a clump of stock in BB&T. And it was a pretty substantial amount, okay? And so we got the stock, and we go like, what do we do with this? We never had this before. This is a new thing. This is kind of weird. And so guess what me and the office started doing? We automatically became stockbrokers. We started watching the stock market. We started, oh, it's going up a couple pennies. Yeah, we made this one. Oh, it went down a little bit. Oh, guess what we did the very first thing when we entered? I would come in, put my Bible down, walk in, go, okay, what's the stock say? Well, before I even prayed. They were constantly, throughout the day, they would put on the computers and they would just say, hey, the stock is here, the stock is here. And it was like, it's just like overwhelming. It was eating me up. It was eating everyone up. Finally, I think I called Fidel or Rodney. Maybe it was Rodney. And Rodney said, you're not a stockbroking firm. Sell it. You're a church. Sell it and feed people or something with it. Oh, you're right, bro. You're right. Yeah, he said, trust me, it'll eat you up. So we sold it. And, you know, here's the funny part. It's not funny. Shame on us. If we had sold it as soon as it came in, we probably made, I think it was like $300-$400 more than we sold it when we held on to it because the stock went down some. Now, here's the interesting thing. So after we sold it, I noticed something different. I noticed something interesting in the office. We no longer every day check the stock exchange. Matter of fact, we didn't care about it anymore. We didn't mention it anymore. It was a kind of a thought. I mean, we didn't say one word about it. Because once my treasure was no longer in BB&T, neither was our hearts. And our actions. Now, that might be a little feeble, but I think you understand the example. It's kind of funny, you know. I mean, I don't think any of us sin. We learned a lesson. We're a church. We're not a stockbroking firm. So isn't it crystal clear if your treasure is in your house or in your IRA or the Mercedes? That's where your heart will be. Now, let me say this disclaimer. Saying this, I need to say that in and of itself, those things aren't bad, and of course you know that. However, knowing that, folks, the Lord demands the first tenth of whatever we make on any given day, in any given week, be given to Him. And we're going to talk next week what that means, given to Him. It doesn't mean to give it to your grandma because she doesn't give it. Next week I'll tell you where that money needs to go. According to God, okay? Any given day, any given week, be given to Him. In order that our hearts, not in order that Pastor Ben gets paid or that the church will be able to do something fun, but that our hearts will be set on our heavenly destination. And that's the truth of it. So please don't get upset with me, the messenger. God said it. I'm just teaching it. Folks, have you ever heard this? Yeah, well, that's fine and dandy. But those preachers are always talking about money. Always, it seems like. With big buildings. They got a big debt, or they have a big mortgage payment. You know what? I really don't know all about that. I don't think I teach about money too much. But check this out. What I do know about that is this. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven. He talked more about money than he did about hell. In fact, folks, he talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell combined. But he put it in the right context. He spoke about it truthfully. Of course, the question is, why? Why did he? I think you know. We said it before, because he knows it's a huge, huge issue for you and for me. And it was a big issue back in those days. And that speaks of much, much a larger principle. Matter of fact, one thing Jesus said about money, and this is very important to get, was this in Luke 16:9. And please jot this down for your reference. Jot down that 16:9. And I say to you, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by the unrighteous manner. That'd be money. Okay? We call it unrighteous because it's money. That when you fail, they may receive you unto an everlasting home, meaning heaven. That's kind of weird. You look at that and go, what does that mean? I like what the Billy Graham loves this. It's the New Living Translation. I like what it says. Check it out. I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. Unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? I like the way that reads. So in other words, pay it forward. You've heard that. There's a movie about that. Send it ahead. In other words, folks, the money you have made friends of or that you have used rightly will greet you when you die. That's what Jesus said. Look, this is red letter stuff. Hey, red letter stuff. Important. Jesus said it. I don't know why we looked at the red letter stuff and like, oh, we got to obey that. But the black letter stuff, Paul said that. It's okay. But the red letter stuff, oh my goodness. And this is red letter stuff. Jesus himself declared it. And that's more secure than a bank vault. Now, the old adage is true. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. It's very, very true, which we said earlier. And what you send ahead, my friends, through the tithe that God demands, by the way, and through the offering that he deserves, they meet you there. That stuff meets you there. Now, I can hear in my inner mind's ear right now, you guys are saying this in your heart, some of you. But wait, Pastor, I don't make much money, so there won't be much there to greet me with, just a little. That kind of bums me out. That discourages me, because I don't make very much. And look, I know the demographics of our church, and so many of you might be in that category, along with me. I disagree with that, knowing the Word, knowing God's Word, knowing His character, knowing His nature. See, we live in an upside-down world here. We as Christians look at people and go, hey, listen, I'm going to be the last, so I'm going to be the first. That makes sense to me. Does it to you? Well, not to the world, but it does to me. Hey, I'm going to give away myself so I can receive eternal life. Huh? I'm going to die to self so I can... This whole thing in biblical Christianity is this kind of warp, people say, because it's upside. Well, it's the same thing here. God's economy, His heart, His nature. It's not the way of our Lord. So consider this. It's recorded in Mark 12, 41, 42, 43, 44. Homework, write it down, check it out. When Jesus saw a widow, oh, you remember the widow with two mites, of course. By the way, less than a penny. He told his disciples, turned to him and said, that she had given more than they who out of their abundance, these millionaires, had given much. She had given more. Why? Well, because she gave all that she had. And so if you're barely making it and you scrape out 10% and you give it to God, God looks at that and goes, man, that's way more. That's way more important than that guy that's making $200,000 a year giving 10%. Oh, they're both obedient. I'm not saying one's not another. It just takes more sacrifice for that widow. Amen? And he sees that. He understands that. That's his nature. So Jesus acknowledged even two mites. And so that woman, like us, will receive a mighty reward. That's a play on words. Did you catch that? Might. You're supposed to laugh. You're my worship leader. Mighty big welcome in heaven. And so will we. Next week, third and fourth reasons. Our evaluation, God's declaration. And so we'll see you next week. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.